right now on VFN TV. We're going to have the president's weekly address. Also, we're going to have a politician, Wilder, in Netherlands, and he's speaking specifically about what's taking place in the Netherlands and how his life's being threatened. Also, a congressional delegation went to Israel. We'll be talking about that, moving the capital of American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And Lori McKeeman, who works with the Israeli Defense Force, she will be here, and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, I had a great chance to meet with, and he's been on the program before, Pastor Isaiah Kadari from Nigeria. I'm excited to say, I believe it's going to be next week, he's going to be joining us on VFN TV. Some powerful things. I mean, think about this. Out of approximately 180 million to 200 million Nigerians, 80% of them live on $1 a day. I mean, it's amazing how blessed we are in America and how we can be a blessing. We're going to have him on the program, Apostle Kadari, next week, hopefully. Be praying for that meeting and that taking place on the air. I'm very excited about that. President Donald Trump addresses every single week with an address of what's taking place in America. He happened to be on the USS Gerald Ford when he gave this address. Take a look.
My fellow Americans, I'm joining you today from the deck of what will be our nation's newest aircraft carrier, the soon-to-be-commissioned Gerald R. Ford. And as you can see, I'm wearing a jacket and a hat that they just gave me. Not really used to it, but it feels awfully good. I'm very proud of it, actually. Our carriers are the centerpiece of American military might, projecting power and our totally unparalleled strength at sea. This beautiful new warship represents the future of naval aviation, and she will serve as a cornerstone of our national defense for decades and decades to come. A famous aviator once wrote that to build a truly great ship, we shouldn't begin by gathering wood, cutting boards, or distributing work, but instead by awakening within the people a desire for the vast and endless sea. So true. In the same way, we must continue to renew the American spirit in order to rebuild our country, and rebuild it we will. On Tuesday, before a joint session to Congress, I laid out a version, I hope you all watched, for how to accomplish that national rebuilding. My vision includes the elimination of the defense sequester, which has imposed steep cuts on our military. We must give our sailors, soldiers, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen the tools, equipment, resources, and training they need to get the job done and get it done right, especially in these very dangerous times. The active duty Army has been reduced by more than 85,000 men since 2009. And we have over 18,000 fewer active duty Marines. Air Force, it's the smallest it's been since 1947, and their planes are, on average, nearly 30 years old, if you can believe that. Our Navy's fleet is the smallest it's been since World War I, and that's a long time ago. Frontline Navy and Marine strike fighter aircraft are more likely to be down for maintenance than to be in the sky. We cannot afford to continue down this path. My budget will give America's armed forces the resources they need to achieve full and total military preparedness to meet any and all global challenges. And meet them, we will. Investing in the military means investing in peace. Because the best way to prevent war, as George Washington said, is to be prepared for it. Most importantly, an investment in the military is an investment in the incredible men and women who serve our country in uniform. They are the best of us. They are the greatest force for peace and justice the world has ever known, and we will support them every single step of the way. These are truly exciting times. Amazing opportunities are unfolding before us. to strengthen our military, to reboot our economy, and to bring back our jobs. If we all work together and put our country first, then anything is possible. Let us seize this moment and make the most of this incredible opportunity for national renewal. May God bless the men and women of our military, and may God bless the United States of America, the country we love.
That's so powerful. If you missed yesterday's program, you got to catch it. He gave a speech on the USS Gerald Ford, which is a powerful speech in supporting our nation, supporting our troops. They just so loved him. There's a big sign that says that there's integrity at the helm. It's just exciting to see America being strengthened again and a commander-in-chief that's doing what it takes to be able to prevent what's taking place in the Netherlands. As a matter of fact, we're about to hear from a politician named Wilder, and he has stood for quite some time for the integrity of the nation called the Netherlands. And there's been people coming against the nation of Netherlands telling them that, you know, that if you say anything about any other nation, then that's racism. And it's not racism. It's actually talking about what is and to protect the borders. And he's been fighting for the survival of the Netherlands. As a matter of fact, here's an interview right now with this politician. His name is Geert Wilder. He's very popular. He has Secret Service or Protective Service around him because of his stand for the country that it would stand. Let's go there now.
Some say he will be the next nail in the European Union's coffin. Dutch politician Geert Wilders' anti-EU, anti-immigration Party for Freedom is on track to win national elections in March. But he told us why a victory still might not make him the next prime minister. He also calls his conviction on a hate speech charge for saying there are too many Moroccans in the Netherlands ridiculous. He still lives under 24-hour police protection from death threats. And whatever you do, don't call him the Dutch Donald Trump. Geert Wilders emerged from his trial more defiant and more popular than ever. And he granted this exclusive interview to CBN News. After your recent trial for hate speech, you didn't sound very repentant, very sorry.
No, I'm not, you know. How can I be? I really said nothing wrong. And I think I'm the first Dutchman who is convicted for something that is not in the law. Because the judge decided that Moroccans, which as you know is a nationality, has to be seen as a race. Dale, the reason I said it was because 80% of the Dutch jihadis who go to fight in Syria are Moroccans. 80%. They are 22 times overrepresented in criminal offenses when it comes to street crime. 60% of the Moroccan youth under the age of 23 has been arrested at least once. So in any poll, it proved that the majority of the Dutch people agreed with me about the Moroccans. And the judge said, because of international jurisprudence, once again, not even in the Dutch law, that Moroccans had to be seen as a race. So if you in Holland, be careful, tomorrow say that you don't like French, German, or Swedish food or people, you could be called a racist. Of course, this is ridiculous. I did nothing wrong, and that's why I will appeal this crazy verdict.
Why do you think you've become so popular in the Netherlands?
Well, you know, because like with I'm not comparing myself with Donald Trump or anybody else, but, you know, the people are fed up with a politician ignoring the problems. The people are fed up by if they say something about the influx of the mass immigration from mostly Islamic countries, what they really feel as a threat, what really is a threat, they are being called racist if they make a remark about, hey, this is not our country anymore. Those are common people. Those are not racist or people. And at the same time, people saw, while the government had this enormous austerity measures, that the government spent billions of euros to asylum seekers who really were not asylum seekers, but migrants looking for a better life. And once again, Dale, I don't even blame the people for trying to have a better life here. I blame our government to allow it to happen, to not say enough is enough. You are not a refugee and we have to defend our own country and I close our borders. A country without a border is like a person and a house without a front door. Anybody can enter and you cannot ask anybody to leave. So it's not a real country at all.
There are many similarities between you and Mr. Trump. A few. You outsiders, bashed by the media.
Yeah.
You've changed the political discussion in the Netherlands.
Yes, I hope.
And you're strong-willed.
I'm very strong-willed, and I'm very impatient as well. And I twitter a lot, and some of the ideas might be the same. Unfortunately, we don't have a two-party system. And like you said before, I hope to win and become prime minister, but I could win and not become prime minister because of our system. And you can win the elections and still lose if nobody wants to work with you. And the people, most of the parties, are saying now that they would not want to work with me. But hey, as Mr. Trump says, there are many differences perhaps as well. I'm not the Dutch. One of your colleagues, I believe it was from Fox or CNN, asked me, you are the Dutch Trump. I said, no, I'm the Dutch Geert Wilders. Mr. Trump is Mr. Trump. I'm Mr. Wilders. I'm not anybody's copy or whatsoever. But I believe indeed, as Mr. Trump said, that despite some differences, we have a lot in common. And it's a kind of movement. It is a kind of movement, as he calls it. It's also in Europe. We are not Trump's movement. Trump is not our movement. But the people are waking up.
What do you hope is the future of the European Union?
I'm against the European Union, as I told you. But I'm very much in favor of Europe. Europe is my home. Europe is my continent. Europe is where we live. The European Union is a political, bureaucratic organization that took away our identity and our national sovereignty. So I want to get rid of the European Union and be a nation state again. Both the Eurozone and the European Union is like the end of the Roman Empire. It's already started. It in a few years' time, it will not be there anymore. Don't ask me whether it will be 2 years or 10 years, but the end is near, and like the Roman Empire. It's gone. We need to have a nexit, like Brexit, a nexit, and leave the European Union. That's inevitable.
When I last interviewed you, it was 10 years that you had been in police protection. Now it's, what, 12, 12 and a half?
Yes, it's 12 and a half, yeah.
How's it going?
Yes.
With your semi-free life?
Yeah. I know, it's the same answer I gave you last time. I don't wish it for my worst enemy to experience. But I know what I'm doing it for. Whether I succeed or fail, it's my mission. It's my mission for freedom, because I want our people and our country to stay free. It's a sad thing that I lost my own freedom in the process, but if I don't succeed, many more people will lose their freedom.
Excellent. Thank you.
That is so right on. I mean, that's where, you know, this big shift that took place in America in the last quarter of 2016, where we are now in 2017, that you know, God had mercy on us that we wouldn't go the way of the Netherlands. And he's been standing up. He may be the prime minister. Pray for the Netherlands. But then they have to build a unified government. It's not like America. And if you don't do that, you don't get to stay in office. But I remember one word that was given, and I can't find it, but I experienced him giving this word, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. He said that a nationalism would begin to happen again in the world. And this is before all this has taken place. And that it's a good form of nationalism. In other words, it's okay to be American. It's okay to be Mexican. It's okay to be Israeli. It's okay to be German. It's Germany. It's okay to begin to get our identity back, you know, and God speaks specifically, said that the nations would be gathered before his throne. And so God anoints and he blesses and he has plans in store for nations. And the enemy wants it just to be a borderless society, as George Soros says, and that, you know, one world government. And God knows what he's doing, and God establishes nations and he takes nations down. And if a nation starts going in a wrong direction, he says very specifically that he will warn it. If it doesn't warn it, then he'll take that nation down. Despite the plans he had to do good for that nation, he would just stop it. But if they repented, he would continue the good plans. So nations are very important. And the Netherlands is trying to grab a hold of itself. You know, his leaders are saying, listen, we got to begin to be, you know, who we are as a nation again, and Moroccans to be Moroccans. And then we have fellowship, but not to lose your identity as a nation. When we get back from this break, we're going to be hearing and listen to a congressional delegation that went to Israel about moving, like President Trump said, to move the embassy of America from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. And they're actually saying, listen, he said he's going to do it. Let's hold him to this, and I'm sure he's going to do it. But first, have you seen that movie, The Shack? You need to go see it. I'm telling you, you can listen to people's opinion of it. know this, that, you know, go see it, experience it. It's one of the top 10 bestseller books in the world. And I saw it, and it really blessed me. As a matter of fact, here's a testimony from somebody from the VFN Dream Center right now. They went to go see the movie, and they're sharing what it meant to them. I'll see you after the break.
This movie is, no matter what you believe or don't believe, I think that you'll walk away with something just lifted off of your shoulders. I mean, I teared up several times throughout the movie, and I think most people probably did, but it shows you so much about God's love and how important forgiveness is to Him, not like in our own lives, and to forgive others. And also a huge thing that I took away was how we might consider ourselves the judge in our lives and in other people's lives. And we really can't be the judge because we don't have that infinite wisdom that God has. And we can't make that huge call on what's wrong and what's like, who's bad and who deserves to go to hell. That's not our job.
It's not our job.
And it'll poison ourselves too.
Very good.
If we live like that, which just ties into a lot of what you were talking about a couple weeks ago.
Right. So what would you say to someone that's you, that's out there your age, and they're thinking about, oh, this is just a Christian movie. It's going to have low quality, you know. Bubba's going to be in it going, well, I think, you know.
It is a beautifully made movie, and the casting is wonderful. There's nothing about it that seems cheesy or low quality. Well, it's just very, very, it's so good that you forget that you're watching a movie. You feel like you're there, and that's like they're talking to you. So
it's good.
It really touches your heart.
Awesome. Let's give her a hand.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You've lost so much already. I don't want to lose you too.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blur out?
The letter showed up in my mailbox with no tracks in the snow.
Just like you're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something. This is all I got.
Ain't it just like love to leave a mark on the skin and underneath?
Welcome back. Well, you heard the president say we are going to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which is Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And it's always been documented that way.
It's already been decided.
Every 6 months, every president, since we actually backed that up and said we agree with that, they actually sign an order or whatever it says that we're going to postpone it due to safety reasons. And that's coming up right now, as a matter of fact.
In May.
And so our president's going to be forced with either signing that or saying, you know, we're going to begin to build. And the thing about build our embassy in Jerusalem, let me tell you, the creator of the universe, God, sees us moving, snuggling up to, you know, to Jacob, to Israel, and saying that we acknowledge you, and we're going to say this is the capital. God sees it. It's not just about Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's not just about the Israeli people. It's about God watching us say, we agree with you. So we want to pray that this takes place. And a congressional delegation went to Israel to be able to make that stand and say, you know what? The time's coming up, and to show us some details. Let's join them now.
Congressman Ron DeSantis led the delegation to Israel to explore the idea of moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem.
A lot of people thought maybe Donald Trump would do this on day one. He did not do that. Some were disappointed.
DeSantis was clear that Trump didn't send the group, but that they would report back to him.
I thought it was important to come out and get some knowledge in the Congress about where this thing will actually be. He's in a position where He's either going to follow his campaign promise or he's going to actually have to sign this waiver.
In 1995, Congress signed the Jerusalem Embassy Act, requiring the U.S. Embassy to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which, according to Israel, is its capital. Since then, every president has signed a security waiver every 6 months to prevent the move. Former President Obama's last waiver expires in May.
And I just think, knowing the president, he's been a man of his word. I don't think that he is going to, on the same month where people here in Jerusalem are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Jerusalem Day, sign the waiver. I would bet that he would not do that, and that he would announce that the embassy is going to be moving.
The group toured possible embassy sites in Jerusalem and met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli officials. DeSantis said he didn't meet with Palestinians or Arab leaders this time, but had in the past, and didn't think there would be an uproar if the embassy moved.
My sense is, if you look at some of the issues that bind our country with, say, some of the Arab Gulf states who may not philosophically agree with this, their main concern is not Jerusalem right now. It's Iran's influence. It's some of the other security threats they face.
According to DeSantis, there are three benefits to the U.S. for moving the embassy.
One is truth. You know, we have this historic connection with the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem. Part of the things that's frustrated me, and I think some of our colleagues with some of the Palestinians, is a denialism about the connection, the deep connection.
He noted that Jerusalem is one of the most ancient capitals in the world. According to the Bible, King David made Jerusalem the capital of the Jewish people 3,000 years ago.
Two, I do think it's important that the president, having made the pledge, that he follow through with it. And then third is, I think it really showed that America is standing four square behind our allies here in Israel.
Offer.
Julie Stahl, CBN News.
You're looking at this. It's so exciting to see the fulfillment of moving the,
yes,
the capital, or embassy to the capital. And if you've been following this for quite some time, the Democratic National Convention, they booed the idea. Mm-hmm. The previous president that was in the White House took that off the website.
Off their platform.
And some map companies online literally called, they wiped Israel, the whole Israel, off the concept there. And it's thank God things have shifted. As we heard prophetically, as a matter of fact, I want you to hear this real quick. Like, this is a prophetic word given by Pastor John Kilpatrick, as God revealed to him what's really going on. It has to do with Israel, America, and generals. Take a look.
I was riding along the highway last Thursday evening. I was engaged in a conversation by cell phone with my administrator regarding budget matters. As I was listening to her answer a question, I heard Holy Spirit interrupt me and said, "How do you spell Truman?" I thought for a moment, and I said, T-R-U-M-A-N. He then said, "How do you spell Trump?" And I said, T-R-U-M-P. I immediately made the connection. He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, "I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland." What was will be again. He then asked me, "How do you spell truth?" I said, T-R-U-T-H. The Lord said, "He's changing the appetites of people. Instead of the public now rejoicing in rumors, they will now become excited to hear the truth again. They will develop a love for the truth and reject the lies as well as the liars. This will not be true of everyone in every place, but a shift has already happened. Truth had fallen in the streets, but I tell you, I'm lifting it up again, and it shall cause great rejoicing. I, the Lord, have done this by my own power, by my right arm of might, and by my justice." Give God praise. Hallelujah.
So you're looking at you think, well, why are we messing with Israel right now? It's all about Israel. It's all about our relationship with Israel and the fact that, you know, God did what he did so we can stand with Israel. And that's so awesome when you're talking about moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the true capital of Israel. It says to the whole world, listen, let's just settle it once and for all. This is God's land, God's people. You can become a part of Israel by becoming a citizen and functioning in their constitution, but you can't take them over or push them in the sea, as Iran says. Well, listen, we're about to go to a break, but when we come back from this break, we're going to hear from Lori McKeeman, and she is an audience member just like you, and we'd love to hear from you. And she
She
came to the VFN Dream Center kind of sharing about how she goes to Israel and supports the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, and serves them every year. So we'll be able to hear from her. We get back from the break, but listen, I got this gift for you. It's a gift. It's called Is God in Charge, in Control, or Both? This is so important. We want to send this to you for your gift, your financial gift of any amount whatsoever. It's just important because so often, you know, some people are saying it's only going to happen that way because that's what God predestined. And some other people are going to say, well, I need to do something. Well, we got to determine, you know, what's our role, what kind of authority God's given us. This is for you. We're going to give it to you free of charge. Is God in charge, in control, or both as a gift to you? Here's some details.
Offer 2027. Is God in charge, in control, or both? Knowing and understanding who is in control and who is in charge is so important and a key to living either filled with adventure and success or confusion, blame, and struggle. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to follow a leader who doesn't understand that they are responsible for leadership. There's nothing more destructive than those who are not called to lead to struggle against authority. You'll discover the difference between being in charge and being in control, or known as free will. When you discover how much God loves you and how much he has entrusted to you, given to you to exercise your free will, you'll begin to understand how God has made you so that you can be the answer to the world, its darkness, and for captive people, an actual ambassador. We want to send this to you for a free gift of any amount. Become a partner today by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or write to us at VFNTV, that's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PNB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2027. Is God in charge, in control, or both?
Conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So once we put our heads together, agreed on the categories, what I found out was I enjoyed the budget.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, a simple budgeting lesson from Julie Crossan.
Now that I had a limit, everything's an envelope system. So I had an envelope, but we did it in my checkbook. So I had a certain amount for groceries. And then when I would write a check or put it on the debit card or whatever, I would subtract. So I know where I am through the month. And so what it did was it gave me control. So I know where I am so that I felt good about what I felt I was contributing.
So you were making progress because before you really didn't know where you were at.
And I didn't want to. Now it really helped me to know where I was because what I felt like I was helping Russ not to worry. Because he and I could both look in the checkbook and know where I was. He knew that he wasn't going to get a big surprise at the end of the month.
You can take control of your finances. Hear more from Julie and Russ Crossan at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
God is the author, life is sacred. There is a storyline. If there is a story, what is the response? The response is that of worship. Worship is the submission of all of our nature to God. It's the quickening of conscience by his holiness, nourishment of mind by his truth, purifying of imagination by his beauty, opening of the heart to his love, and submission of will to his purpose. All this gathered up in adoration is the greatest expression of which we are capable. You see, the goal and the process of life script is the sanctity of the inner life, the binding together of all of my propensities. And when that is bound together, Worship can be expressed not only at a church altar. Worship can be expressed in the place of work where you are involved and employed.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program or you're saying, I wish I would have got that or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there. Mm-hmm. And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for the Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We love hearing from you. We yes. love when you write us. We love when you call us. And we love when you even show up and visit us, you know, even on the Dream Center. We had Lori McKeeman come mm-hmm. and visit us at the VFN Dream Center. And it was so exciting, just good to see her in general, but also to find out that she loves Israel. She mm-hmm. teaches on creation
yes.
around the world. She's grading papers while she's watching us. But also the fact that she goes every year to a volunteer organization to go support the Israeli Defense Force, the soldiers, which are very young.
To serve.
As a matter of fact, we're going to take you there now where you get to see, because we actually captured that interview for you. You could see Lori and realize this is what we think about you. We're so grateful for you. Everything that you're doing for the Lord and what you're doing for Israel blesses our heart. Take a look.
It's just so exciting, you know, to see people who understand Israel and love Israel. Amen. And when I heard about what you're sharing with me, that you go there and volunteer with IDF, Israeli Defense Force. And she serves. She puts on the
Marine. I sleep in the barracks.
Sleep in the barracks.
My son's a Marine, Cobra pilot.
So talk to us a little bit about that. I mean, what's the experience like?
Well, I go with a Jewish organization. Actually, I don't go with a Christian organization, mm-hmm. but I am a born-again believer. And I go and I don the uniform, I wear the little hat, I even raise the Israeli flag in the morning. You know, we all take turns. I live in the barracks with the soldiers, the girl soldiers.
They're real young. Some of them, they're all different ages, but they
start at 18. School, at 18, Ken. That's yes for in Hebrew.
And it's actually, and you, 2 years mandatory military services.
Right? They've actually changed a little bit. It was 2 years for the females, 3 years for the males, and now it's a little bit different. But, you know, they can go on. And I actually learned Hebrew from an Israeli former IDF soldier here in Pensacola.
Wow.
And she was with the intelligence corps. Mm-hmm. At age 19, she was in charge of 70 soldiers. That's how fast you grow up in Israel. You know,
very mature compared to
America. Yeah. Yes, they are very mature. And it's just a blessing. I do whatever they want. I've cleaned dumpsters. I've swept the streets. I've repaired communications equipment. I've reorganized the logistics bases where all the uniforms and equipment, you know, decide what's good, what's reusable, and witness when I can.
You know, while you're there, we're actually broadcasting that other media would not broadcast what was really going on there. All the missiles coming in from the south, and the media wouldn't turn their cameras to what was actually going on. And we had a chance to share that story, and we stayed on top of it until, you know, every way of things that happened, but we stayed on top of it.
Well, that's the Lord just keeps opening more doors for me, and every time I go back, I'm able to build on the relationship started. Mm-hmm. And a couple summers ago, a war widow adopted me. Mm-hmm. Her husband was killed in a 2002 naval operation, mm-hmm. and then she's introduced me to her friends. Like, one's a brigadier general's widow who was killed in the Yom Kippur War. Mm-hmm. Another's husband was killed in the Battle for Jerusalem in 67. But I stay with the first one, on the weekends, because I don't stay on the bases on the weekends. You have to find your own place over Shabbat.
So the weekdays you stay on the base.
Yes. And, but from her bedroom window in Beersheba, you can see the Iron Dome shooting down rockets. I haven't seen it myself because I'm in another room.
That's southern Israel.
Beersheba.
Yeah, that's right down there.
In the Negev.
Yeah. I think of the name, but there's one's getting missiles in her house. And
Yeah, actually, we went to
Ashkelon.
We went to a kibbutz for a bat mitzvah of her granddaughter, and in Sardot, one hit while we were on our way. I didn't see it. You know, it's like I always hear about these things, but the Lord, thank I'm God. Always like always yeah, in a different
you don't
place.
See it. You don't yeah. want to see that.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, there's so much you can do there. There's so much around the world that you can do. I mean, I've worked with Holocaust survivors. Mm. I've worked with handicap. I've done street ministry. I'm Avi, and mm-hmm. you know this them at the Duguid.
Yeah,
yeah. A little bit there. And just whatever the Lord opens up. And he always opens up something. And the people are not just curious anymore. They're hungry, like I was saying earlier. Yeah. And they ask me very particular questions mm-hmm. about the gospel.
But you've seen an increase as things are building? That they're more curious about what's going on?
I always pray. You know, it seems like over the winter I really study because I have to go from the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. The Tanakh.
Right.
And it seems like every spring, the Lord always gives me something. This makes it real alive to me from the Old Testament. And I know that somebody's going to come up and want to know about it. Right. And it happens every summer, whether it's awesome. Abraham's actual, you know, being the friend of God and God right. showing him his ultimate redemption
right.
through his time to sacrifice Isaac.
Right.
You'd be surprised how many, you know, they don't right. see that. They just think, oh, it's Abraham's obedience.
That veil is real, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's, yeah. you know, he just.
Sid Roth, did you hear what Sid was there and he met and he had yeah. everybody in the auditorium raised their hands, stood for salvation, which was a huge thing for Israel. I would say maybe about 100, 200 folks. God was healing. Wow, he was doing different things, but that was pretty yeah. pretty amazing. I think that day's getting closer, you know.
Lord willing.
Yeah.
Lord willing. I mean, yeah. you know, Yeshua HaMashiach, please
yes.
return.
Please return.
Make it imminent.
I just can't believe, though, some of these things, like, it's just so blows your mind away. It's like, this is Israel's property. And you're sitting at the Western Wall, and you're looking on top, and it's like, why is there a Muslim dome over the, you know, right the holy place? And the place, you know, it's crazy.
Have you been under the city?
And no, I went to the left where it has, you know, the Torah and all that.
Next time you go under and take the tunnel tour and see the history and the wall and what's going on under there. There are the Jewish Orthodox women praying in the cubby holes, you know, constantly. That's what they do, praying for, you know, of course. They don't realize Messiah's come once.
Right.
Many of them.
Right. They dance around the wall, praying for him to return.
Which is so much fun.
They dance in circles, and they're actually asking for him to come.
Yeah.
So we are planning in 2018, the next year, we're working with having a tour from our audience to be able to go and experience.
Go. That's all I have to say is go.
Oh, I love
it. Go and spend your money. Make Israel's economy, you know.
There you go. It's tourism is the biggest, probably the biggest.
I don't know. There's so much. Technology is huge.
True.
Technology. Yeah. It's a startup nation.
We did a whole series, a whole week long, on all the good things that Israel's doing.
I think I saw part of that. I see when I'm grading papers.
You're a teacher?
Ken, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I teach creation science.
Oh,
all
wow.
over the world, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're talking about the Jewish people, and that's what God has put on my heart. I even work here a bit with the Jewish Federation. But yesterday I met Montgomery with some missionaries to Morocco, and they work with Muslim people there because they are telling me that within maybe 50 years that the Lord tarries, that our nation here in the United States might be 50% Muslim.
Yes, that's
and,
what they're working on.
I don't know about you, but I'm not in with that.
I'm not
on board with that.
That's one thing I was shocked about when I got to Israel was all the call to prayer from Islam. I'm like, no, that shouldn't be in the air here, but all through the air it's calling.
Well, you know, what's really sad, have you ever listened to some of those prayers in English? They're very heartfelt, very, you know, they realize that they are not right with God. I mean, but there's no salvation. There's
right.
no hope. I mean, it's whatever Allah decides that day you die, I guess. I'm not sure, you know, because I don't have a big ministry to Muslims, though, you know, there are Arabic people there.
Right.
So when the door opens, you know, you walk through every door to a soul.
Well, the very first thing we did when we moved into this particular studio from the last one was we had a ceremony or whatever, and many people came, leaders came. But it was Kristallnacht. We celebrated Kristallnacht by our local Jewish federation and church that's here.
The federation here in town?
Yeah, the temple.
Hey.
It presented as an act before God
that
we were so focused on Israel that we wanted to acknowledge Kristallnacht and what took place. And so we presented a crystal presentation to remember what happened. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
I want to, but we want to pray for you. We appreciate what you're doing. Could y'all raise your hands this way? Those that are watching, those that are here.
Thank you so much.
Father God, we just thank you for Lori and her love for you and her love for Israel, God. We just bless her, Lord, and her teaching about your creation, God. We bless her with divine encounters and finance and provision. We pray for her hands, Lord, as she touches these soldiers, God, that somehow, Lord, you would let us, our hearts, go through her, Lord God, and your spirit, Lord God, that would touch them, God. They're so young, but yet it's so amazing what's happening in Israel, Lord. And we just bless her health. We bless her connectivity. We pray for divine connections. We pray for this teaching mantle even to move in the area of teaching the church about Israel, to have a compassion and an understanding about the reality and authenticity of our family that's there, Father God. And Lord, we just bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. And we just speak shalom over her in Jesus' name. That's awesome. God bless you.
God bless you.
That's awesome, huh? That's so awesome. We love hearing from you. That was a great visit from Lori. And she's right in line with our heart, man. That's what blessing Israel. We're going to go to a break in just a moment. And we come back, you're going to hear, Ravi Zacharias and some things that he is focused on. And it goes back to the 1700s, this quote, powerful quote. Mm. But really, it's a prophecy because it came to pass today. But first, I don't know if you've seen this movie yet. The movie's called The Shack. It is a power. The book itself was one of the top 10 sellers in the world. It was written from a man, Young.
William.
Paul Young, I think. Yeah. Middle name Paul. But he, out of his own pain, he was going to write this particular letter to his children to help them understand. His wife asked him to, God and what happened in his life. And it ended up being a whole book, and God took it around the world. And now it's a movie, and it really will challenge a lot of things, but also will help you begin to see all the different perspectives. Our God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's all-powerful. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving. And he's way beyond what any religiously bound person would kind of put him in a box.
That's right.
He is awesome, and he created us in his image. It's just a powerful thing. As a matter of fact, somebody just went to see the movie, and they shared with me their testimony when they were at the VFN Dream Center. You want to hear their testimony about their experience of watching the movie how, without saying anything about the movie. And then we'll go to break and come back. What was the biggest thing, without giving the movie away, that impacted you?
I think it's the way they portrayed the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were one, yet three separate beings, spirits. People. But you can tell each one had their part. Jesus always points to the Father, and his spirit always does what he would want us to do. They were just three working in unity as one, yes. And the joy, such joy, just joy.
This is one thing that says, we don't know enough. No man knows enough to be pessimistic because our Creator has never been pessimistic.
It's true.
You think about it, we don't know enough to be pessimistic, especially when you see that revelation, right?
Right. It was just profound. Yeah.
So the next question is, why would you recommend this movie to someone? Let's say somebody who is really struggling with their just works, and they're just like singing a song, pulling their Bible out, going to church.
Right.
I mean, how would this impact them? They're not engaging. They're just seeing it as a task.
Right. It empowers you to have this relationship with God Almighty, the creator of the whole universe, shows how much he cares for each one of us individually. And all works aside, just enter into his presence. Just fellowship. Have a relationship with God.
And how patient he is.
So patient. Oh, my goodness.
If we turn away from the Father, the Son catches us. If we turn around the Son, the Holy Spirit catches us.
Right. And they allow you to do your thing. And when you're ready, come on back.
That's it. Don't say too much, but we give it away.
Right.
So you would recommend go?
Everybody go see this movie, from the youngest to the oldest. It will leave an everlasting impression on you of what God's love is like.
Awesome. Let's give her a hand.
Ooh.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
She broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why she was special. And God said, you know, Logan, but my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back. What a powerful program. What a powerful program. Ravi Zacharias, he is such a blessing. And if, I don't know if you missed it, but you know, Larry, the cable guy, I forget his actual name now.
I don't know.
He gave his life back to the Lord 2 years ago. He's given his testimony at Liberty University. We had that on VFN TV. You can see that at VFNTV.com. But he said he listens to Ravi Zacharias. So Larry, the cable guy, listens to Ravi Zacharias. He said, but when I do it, I've got to have a dictionary when I'm doing that. Because he is pretty intense. But I am so thankful for Ravi, because Ravi has opened up a school of ministry in Georgia to begin to educate Daniel Whitney. Daniel Whitney is the actual name of the Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah. And it's so exciting, because apologetics, where you explain the gospel and the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And he's just focused. He's got a great gift for it. He's a very humble man. And as a matter of fact, he said once, he was talking about a Malcolm Muggeri from 1970s. And he gave this statement of what was quoted from in 1970s.
Muggeridge.
And it just lines up with today. As a matter of fact, let's listen now.
In the 1970s, Malcolm Muggeridge said this: "It is difficult to resist the conclusion that 20th century man has decided to abolish himself. Tired of the struggle to be himself, he has created boredom out of his own affluence, impotence out of his own erotomania, and vulnerability out of his own strength. He himself blows the trumpet that brings the walls of his own cities crashing down, until at last, having educated himself into imbecility, having drugged and polluted himself into stupefaction, he keels over, a weary, battered old brontosaurus, and becomes extinct. Having created boredom out of his own affluence, we have become so affluent and so bored at the same time. Impotence out of his own erotomania. We have become so erotic in our proclivities and in our desires, we have become impotent to natural drives. Having created now imbecility out of our own gains, we have made so much of progress in education and yet have become so imbecilic in ordinary choices. And now ready to keel over, a weary, battered old brontosaurus to become extinct."
It's just so powerful when you're seeing, I mean, he nailed it, 1970. Mm. And it's where we are today. We thought the 70s were bad because it's coming out of the 60s and the things that was taking place in Woodstock and all the things, the hippie movement, rebellion. And And it was a strategy, it was a campaign going against the American dream, because they tried to flip the nation in the 60s through Cloward and Piven, that was their names, and their concept was to max out the system until it crashes and then reboot it up into socialism.
Organizers, right?
They're organizers, yeah. And it didn't work. You know why it didn't work? Because the middle class at that time in the 50s and before were so rich and so blessed and so contented, and you know, most families had one parent that stayed at home and you went to school, mm-hmm. and the enemy began to sell the families an idea that, you know, there's more out there, you need to leave this thing. And then that's when all of a sudden it came in with divorce, the no-fault divorce, and divorce, you know, people begin to sign contracts and say, I'll stay with you if you, you know, do this and do that, mm-hmm. and the other things. And then abortion came, because you still had the consequences of having relationships, and that, which is a byproduct of that, is children. So then abortion came in 1973. But prior to that, that was really very relevant and taking place. And that's what bred today. But prior to that, you know, that the American lady was the most, she still is today, but out of all the women on the earth, she's the most blessed lady. She was staying at home. You know, things are being brought to her. She was being taken care of, and not that she has to be, but that she had that option to be able to do that. And so they found out the only way that you can crash the system is to convince her that there's more out there, that you're being sold out. You know, you'd be all that you can be. You need to bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, and never forget to let you know. All that kind of stuff was going on. And now look at the family. We can't find it. People don't know where they are. They're struggling with what title to put on the bathroom door. Mm. And it's like, we left family. Well, God's restoring that. He nailed it when he's going back to this particular quote from Malcolm back in the 1970s. And so I want to encourage you to support Robbie Zacharias Ministries International. We'll put up more details at VFNTV.com. But we want to pray right now, because I believe the Lord's turning that around. But we have to participate in the turning around. And I just want to encourage you just to be activated in this season, to partner with us, to pray with us. When you hear charges about getting involved, get involved. I want to pray right now. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for Rabbi Zacharias, what he's doing, and that we just pray a blessing over his school. We thank you for our president, Lord God, standing up as a commander-in-chief. We thank you, Lord, for Malcolm, who made this statement back in the 70s, Lord God, and that it's taken place. God, we pray even now, Lord God, that you would just awaken your church, God. Awaken us, God, to be able to be all that you called us to be in the season that you allowed us to be, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you right now, God, that you would end this abortion that started in the 60s and was legalized in 1973, that you would end abortion in America, that you would send revival, that you would send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. When you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He is a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.